Good morning, 7:40 here on the Mighty 690, and it is time for another legislative update. On the phone, we have Representative Doug Blex. Good morning, sir. I hear y'all had a late night.
Yeah, good morning. It's pretty short. We got off of the House floor at 4:30 this morning, so we're in a conference committee type process, and kind of everything gets crunched down. We're off for about 3 weeks. But, you know, my first Friday, I usually get to talk about revenues. I'll cover that a little bit. Basically, our revenues are still above our estimates, which is good. Actually, overall, it was 12%, but actually, the individual income tax collections were slightly below estimates, and our sales tax collections were just about even. They were about hold their own. What really bumped it up was the corporate tax collections. They were very high this month, and a lot of that has to do with tax filing different times when they have to actually file. Out-of-state sales tax compensating use was down a little bit, too, so that's kind of reflecting a little bit. And I guess if there's any good news, our excise tax, if you're a tobacco user or against tobacco, the cigarette sales taxes was down 17%. So with the high price of cigarettes, I guess, and maybe from a health issue, that was a good thing.
All right. And also you said there's been some work in some of the conference committees.
Yeah, it gets just plumb crazy this time of year. It's this whole week's been on conference committees, and kind of maybe go through for your listeners and our people out there that may not quite understand it. What a conference committee is will be three members of the Senate and three members of the House. And when the House may pass a bill, it goes over to the Senate, and they may make some just little slight change to it, or they may make a big change to it. And then what happens is a conference committee is appointed. I'll give an example of my water bill that, I'm excited we did get it passed, and waiting on the governor's signature for that. Both houses did happen. But this, in effect, kind of becomes horse trading. And one side will usually maybe put a small part in a bill, and this will allow one of them to give up something that probably wasn't real important in the first place. And like I say, they've done that with their water bill. It started out, I introduced it as a dedicated sales tax, which would take about 1.231% over a five-year period of existing sales tax, and that would be the state portion, and it wouldn't be any more additional other than the 6.5. And so, that would generate about about $55 million, and then we was going to give up the state general fund and the EDIF, which totaled about $8 million. And so here the Senate got it, and they dropped the amount down to $30 million from $45 million. And added a clause in there about funding for a historic park. And then they wanted to pay off the reservoir debt on Milford and Perry Reservoir, which was a good thing. But we want to do that on a staged basis. And then they kind of created a requirement that the state treasurer would invest money in treasury notes and then grow money and kind of appropriate it from the state general fund, instead of the state dedicated sales tax. And a lot of changes was made. There was also some issues about stock water fees that is collected from livestock producers whenever they water cattle, particularly big time in the feed yards out west. And we got in the process. We had three Senate people, and everybody was kind of dug in on their position. And of course, we went back, and the Senate finally agreed to $35 million, and that they wanted to use certain requirements, and we wanted the $45 million. And we ended up having three conference committee meetings to hash all that out. And quite frankly, we actually was pretty set in our thing. We thought, well, we'll go to the House Speaker and get leadership involved and see if they could persuade the leadership on the Senate side. And when it all settled down, we ended up getting the $35 million, but we got the $8 million back in from the state general fund and the lottery fund. And so when, after about seemingly an eternity of bargaining, we got about $3.5 million less than what we had asked for, with the exception of the money will now be appropriated out of the state general fund rather than a dedicated process. So that's what this whole week's been, and it's been real slow, and what the House does, they'll gavel in and then may recess and wait. And we may not be, one side maybe not be able to work a bill because it's in conference committee, and so we have to wait till they get come to an agreement. Some of them are real quick, and some of them take quite a while, and maybe two or three meetings like the water bill did. But, yeah, it's basically a crazy week when it gets to this time of the year.
Well, I'm glad to hear some update on the water bill and that sort of thing. And, yeah, there, of course, has to be some compromise, I'm sure. Now, we did have this past week, the House and Senate did override the governor's veto on the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. Did you want to talk at all about that?
Yeah, that was a long, lengthy process, and you have a lot of debate. And basically that's on, in our case, on the House floor, we had to have 84 votes. And quite frankly, it's kind of sad, but it's pretty much a party vote. There's 85 Republicans and 40 Democrats on the House floor, which is good. We get some things are very good bipartisan. The other things is just kind of a red line in the sand. And this was would reflect our third attempt over 3 years to override the governor's veto on this. And I'm a biology major in wildlife biology, and it pretty seems obvious to me and what this would do would prevent biological males from competing against in female sports. And we're seeing a lot of things like that in the national news, and good example of a male swimmer that all of a sudden decided that he wanted to be a girl and take some hormone therapy, and you know, it gets real ugly about some of that stuff, and they come in and cheat a lot of young ladies out of records and scholarships and a lot of chances. So I was very happy. The final vote was 84-40, so we just had just what we needed, and so that was a good thing.
And I did, kind of along that vein, I did see that both the House and the Senate did pass the bill that would revoke the license for doctors who try to do some of these quote-unquote gender reassignment surgeries to minors. But looking at the numbers, it didn't look like it was veto-proof. I was trying to do the math real quick, but did you have any thoughts on that more recent bill that was just passed by the House and Senate?
Yeah, a lot of debate on that, and quite frankly, I apologize. I can't remember the number, but I want to say it was like 65 or so, or it may have been 76. I'm not. You got to be careful about numbers because numbers change, and once they go into conference committee, a bill can change a number. So when people start talking numbers, it can be a various thing. But, yeah, it's not veto-proof. And, of course, we're going to be off for 3 weeks. We're coming back the 24th of April and probably be here for 4 or 5 days during that period. And we wanted to have these bills done because the governor has 10 days to either sign it, veto it, or just let it set and become law without her signature in 10 days. So, we will probably work with that one, but it was not veto-proof.
Sure. I just looked up the numbers. Looks like the House was 70-52 and the Senate was 23-12.
Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at that. I got some scribbled up notes.
Sure.
Like I say, after about an hour of sleep this morning, my eyes are still a little fuzzy.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I can't. Yeah, I know exactly where you're at. One more, I know it's been a lot, like I said, that's gone through. We've also had the House and the Senate pass a bill related to that environmental, social, and governance. We've been hearing a lot about ESG in the news and all that sort of thing. Any thoughts on that?
Well, it's ESG is something that most people don't even have on their radar screen, and it's environmental social governance. And what's happening is banks are using that and lending institutions as criteria. If you're in a business, or even if you're not an individual and want to apply for a loan, they're actually, some of them are using it like your credit score and how well you may treat the environment, how well you may impact on social issues, just like what we've talked about on fairness of women's sport, that kind of a thing. And sometimes, and it's ridiculous. You know, you should accept people the way they are, but at the same token, a lending institution should take you on the basis of a, you know, your credit score and how financially you can pay that back. And it's a new thing that's going around. A lot of private companies are not even doing business with another company just because of an environmental social justice score. And so, yeah, we tried to do some legislation. It wasn't as strong. We got it watered down and kind of, you know, something that we could pass. But at least it's a start and kind of sets a theme that says, hey, you know, banks and businesses, you got no business using that. I mean, let's worry about the financial part. And if I like you and, you know, and I'm a good environmentalist type person, then you get a loan. Or if you're not, and sometimes you don't even know what you're doing. It's so crazy. So, yeah, we got a watered-down version, but at least we got a start.
Sure, I appreciate you talking about all those things. Anything else that you would like to share with the listeners or talk about this morning?
Well, we did get our tax bill, and we got another process that we call bundling, and it's crazy too. We had like 17 or 18 bills into one. That's the reason why I was saying you can't go by numbers. But we did get a property tax reduction, and the House had passed a $80,000 exemption on your residential home. It was $20,000 for a lot of years. Last year, a Senate and the House took it to $40,000. We had it at $60,000 and or $65,000. We had an amendment on the House floor that bumped it to $80,000. And then when we got in this conference committee again, you get the horse trading. That residential property exemption dropped back down to $60,000. And it'll work up with cost of living, so it will have the ability to bump up, and that's going to be a significant reduction in people's property. That means the first $60,000 evaluation of your house will not be you won't have to pay property taxes on. So that's actually a property tax relief. So that's good. And then the sales tax, we were going House version was on July 1, it would go down to zero. In the conference committee, the Senate brought an amendment, and it now will be January the 1st of 2024 when it will go to zero. And I'll remind your listeners, that will be the state portion only. City and county and local taxes will not be impacted by that going down to zero on January the 1st of 2024.
All right, sir. I do appreciate that update, and a lot of topics covered, I think. So I'd say you deserve some sleep after all of this.
Yeah, I'm ready to just go back and take a nap and then head home.
Okay.
You know, I drive home after that. But yeah, I appreciate it, and have everybody a blessed day and a good Friday and a happy Easter.
Hey, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on the program, sir.
All right, thank you.
Yep, have a good weekend. That is Representative Doug Blex here on the Mighty 690. We appreciate him joining us the first Friday of the month. Always good to chat with him. Well, coming up here in just a few moments, we are going to have our Ask the Expert segment. The folks from Skank Insurance are going to be coming in studio, and then we'll be starting open line right around 8:30, so keep it here for that. We have 32 degrees right now in Coffeyville, and we are going to have a high today right around 66.